If you run a business large or small, get ready to take a lot of notes. Because it's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflitz.
Thank you for joining me. You're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business here with Yitzhak Saflitz right here on 77 WABC in the New York, New Jersey metro area and worldwide at WABCBizRadio.com. That's how you can pick us up in South Dakota, and you'll hear why I'm talking about that soon. This show is all about real ideas, real people, real businesses, real success stories on 77 WABC. This show, Mind Your Business, is all about you, all about how you can get ahead in today's business world. We share real-world marketing strategies, business advice, anything to get you ahead. Each week, we feature a very high-profile guest and ask them the questions that are on your mind. Later on in the show, we have the segment, which gives a little bit of a feature of an actual campaign produced by Bottom Line Marketing Group. Later on in the show, we will talk about the Edison Litho Global Shop 2015 trade show booth that won Best of Show in Vegas. It was very exciting, and we'll have more on that later in the show. Also, special shout-out and thank you to Bill O'Reilly and Jessica Proud for hosting the last two shows. I was out on holiday, the holiday of Sukkot. I did not catch the podcast yet because of the holiday, but I'm sure they were fantastic, and I will get a chance and get caught up with that. And, of course, those podcasts will be available at WABCBizRadio.com, WABCBizRadio.com. It's easy to connect with me on social media, LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, Yitzhak Saflitz. I think there's only one in the nation, so I'm the only Yitzhak Saflitz. So it's pretty. So however you spell it, I don't need to go through the spelling. Try it anyway. It will come up. And then you'll be the first to know about the guests that we have. And, of course, on the iTunes channel is all the guest archive. We had some really great guests. Matt Britton from MRY, the author of Youth Nation, Captain Sully Sullenberger, Stephen Aldrich from GoDaddy, Ira Zlotowicz, president of Eastern Union Funding, Ken Romanzi from a former COO of Ocean Spray, Josh Moore from Uber. We got some really fantastic guests. And tonight, joining me here in ABC Studios, high above Madison Square Garden, is none other than Jeffrey Hazlett, primetime TV and radio host and CEO of the Hazlett Group. Mr. Hazlett is the primetime television host of C-Suite with Jeffrey Hazlett and Executive Perspectives on C-Suite TV, and business radio host of All Business with Jeffrey Hazlett on the CBS On Demand Radio Network. He was a former CMO at Kodak, where he left to build his personal brand as a speaker, strategic business consultant, and media personality. Jeffrey's advice is highly sought after, cited regularly in Forbes, Success, Mashable, Marketing Week, Chief Executive, among many others. He has appeared as a guest celebrity judge on NBC's Celebrity Apprentice, more on that a little later. That's with Donald Trump for three seasons. Mr. Hazlett is a global business celebrity speaker and best-selling author. And just this past month, he released his new bestseller, Think Big, Act Bigger. And we're going to be talking about a lot about that during the show. With that intro, we give a very warm welcome to Jeffrey Hazlett.
Hey, it's good to be here. I wanted to, when you were talking about your name, even if we spell it wrong, it could be right. You know, that's what I love about that piece of it. You know, and then the way you introduce it in high above Madison Square Gardens. I mean, that's freaking awesome. That's awesome.
Well, it's very, very exciting to have you in the studio. I mean, really, it's the roles are reversed here. I mean, someone of your stature, and I'm interviewing you. This is a dream.
It's cool. Well, it's very nice of you to say that. I'm just a guy from South Dakota who's trying to make a living. That's the way I like to describe it. But as my wife said one time, my wife's great-grandmother, she's a very small, petite woman, about 4'1", and my wife is 5'1", 105 pounds. I'm 6'3", 280-some pounds, and Grandma Agnes looked up at me, looked at Tammy, and said, isn't he bigger than necessary? So that's kind of the way I feel. I'm a little bit bigger than I should be.
A couple of shout-outs here, of course, to Jenna, right? I got it right?
Yeah, Jenna.
Jenna Larson
who answered my PR.
At Tallgrass PR. Yeah. She was fantastic, organized the whole thing. A special shout-out also to my producer, Pesach Tropper, who's fantastic, who interacted with Jenna. And
they make it happen. Look, we're just the eye candy here. That's all we are. We just told to hit the mark, show up, and say something. So we'll try. Hey, guys, we'll try not to let you down. Yeah. That's the best we can
do. It will be great. Well, I'm so honored you joined us. And before we get into the actual interview, I'm pulling out an artifact from my pocket.
Oh, my gosh.
How do we explain this to a millennial? Here, I have this kid's really here, Pesach.
It's a roll of film. That's a roll of film. You know what this is?
Yeah, I know what it is, but yeah. But how? Just barely.
I know how to process this.
That's a product that actually, you know, Kodak went bankrupt last year. I left there about almost 6 years ago now. Mm-hmm. And yet they went bankrupt back in 1975 because they forgot what they were doing. They said, hey, we're a film company. They were never a film company. And they had the only product that people would actually run back into a burning building to save. So they made emotional technology, and that's where they went wrong, quite frankly, was a number of years ago, decades ago, thinking that they were just in the film business, and they were never in the film business. And so, therefore, they passed on the digital camera. They invented it. They had the patents on it. They created it. It was invented by a guy named Steve Sasson, set in a room in 1975, and he created the very first digital camera. But yet passed it up because they thought this little roll of film that we're holding here, little yellow roll of film, this happens to be a Kodak 200, which is a really great film. By the way, there's no other better product than that in the world. You know, it captures more light, more images than the human eye does.
Wow.
And so when you think about it, when you think of what they had and what they could have done, it just makes you mad. I get mad when I think about it because I love the company. I love the people. I love the people of Rochester and around the world that I got the chance to work with. And I would not be doing the things I'm doing today had I not stepped into that role as a Fortune 100 CMO.
Now, I was warned by our good friend, who also needs a shout-out, deserves a shout-out, JG, Jonathan Gassman, not to get Jeffrey mad, so I'm going to put it away.
Yeah. Well, you know, you put the quarter in, you're going to go for the full ride here. That's the way it works, you know. So,
and we're all loving it, yeah. And of course the audience is going to really enjoy this one. All kidding aside, now let's move to your book. I'm plowing through it, almost done. This book, folks, is the real thing. If you haven't ordered it yet, order it now. I'd put it this way. If you want a legal adrenaline rush, This is the book.
I like the way. Oh, we got a great. I want to use that as a quote.
When I read it, and that's why.
I love that.
Because I got a legal adrenaline rush. I don't use illegal stuff.
You can't get some legal pot and some other stuff in some states.
I just
want to point that out.
We're in New York.
That actually makes you mellow. This is like, you know, 5 hour energy drinks.
This is really a really great book. Go out, order it. It's everywhere, Amazon, Barnes and Noble. But at this hour.
Second printing already.
Amazing. How many copies did you sell?
We already sold 250,000.
I don't believe it.
We released it September the 15th. Before it was released, we went to a second printing.
Wow.
So, which is really big news. And I'm hearing in Barnes & Noble that they're having to back order copies now. So, which is a good thing to happen. But you can get a free one if you buy a brand new Nook. Nook is doing a special. If you buy the new Samsung Galaxy T2, you get my book for free.
Wow, so on any store,
yeah.
B&H, yeah, Adorama?
Exactly. Yeah, well, as long as it's a Barnes & Noble Nook, the Nook. So if they sell it other places, I don't know. Maybe I should have found that out since they're a big sponsor and everything.
We're all good.
Uh-oh. I'm going to get a call from corporate. I hate getting calls from corporate. Corporate, they tick me off. I can't stand corporate. You know, we have a guy in our operations. Sorry, I'm having fun.
This is good.
This is you wound me up. I'm going.
All good.
It must be the 8 espressos I've already had today. But you know, in our operation, I bought and sold over 250 businesses in my career, 25 billion in transactions, and I sit on about 14 boards today, and I'm president chairman of a number of companies, and in our company, the Hazel Group, which has Tallgrass and me and various C-suite network, we make up this corporate guy named Jif. And I always have to have this way of blaming stuff on corporate, you know, because I, you know, hey, it's a rule, corporate, we hate them. And they go, but you're the man. I go, yeah, I hate the man, you know, and that's what we do. And that's how we have fun with it. You know, we do like to have a little fun with it because, you know, I don't like rules. That's the reason I wrote the book. I'm sick and tired of people telling me why you can't do something. And they're usually self-imposed obstacles, things we put in our head. Somebody asked me recently, I was speaking in Orange County, and they said, Jif, what about the little voices in your head that say you can't do it? I said, I stopped inviting those guys to lunch along time ago. You know, why would you listen to voices that you create in your own flipping head?
Yep. You know, and it's talked about in the book.
I don't get
you
that.
You talk about it in
exactly.
The book.
Shut those guys up. Put some duct tape over their mouths.
Well, we're going to address right away why. I mean, I read the book, so I understand the title.
Yeah.
And it's a great title.
Yeah.
But maybe you could just explain it for our audience.
Look, I'm a big guy. And you know, the first time I looked at myself in a picture, I didn't think I was that big. I still don't think I'm a big guy. But then I started looking at myself in pictures, and I started saying, whoa, my gosh, I'm a big guy. And I started evaluating that. Why didn't I think I was a big person? I'm 6'3", 200, you know, some odd pounds. And I was a high school All-American, all that kind of stuff. But I didn't ever think of myself as a big guy. And so that just kind of perplexed me. And then I started thinking about my business and the way I was doing things. I said, you know, I was doing things in South Dakota. I'm in a place where most people only know as a spot on a map. And yet I've gone and risen to some of the biggest places in the world. And I'm not done yet by any way, shape, or form. And no matter how big I think I am, there's always someone bigger, which is always cool, or smarter, or better looking, or whatever. And that's okay. That's great. Good for them. But I'm just going to beat them. I'm going to be better looking, and I'm going to be smarter than them someday. And that's really what this book's about. It's about you being whatever you want to be. Whether it's in your personal life or your business, you can act bigger. And if you want your dreams to come true, quit waiting for it. You know, get out there and act. And if you start acting, guess what? If you start doing, your dreams catch up to you. They become reality. And that's really what you have to start to do when you think about your life and the business and the way in which you represent yourself. It's about, you know, getting the rewards of being relentless. Because I've found that it's not the lucky who win. Yeah, there's a couple of them. Come on, they win the lottery. Right. But usually they end up going
and
bankrupt.
And they
go crazy. But it's the relentless. It's the people that do their job day in and day out. And people say, well, Jeff, that's hard. Well, you know what? Yeah, it's supposed to be called hard work. Because it is hard. It is hard, man. It's the name of the game. And if you work hard, you win. And that's what it's all about, winning in the end. Not failing fast. Oh, see, now you wound me up. Now I'm going.
I love it.
He just opens one chapter and boom, I'm gone. Failing fast. That's another thing I talk about since you got me on a roll. People say fail fast. Forget fail fast. Win fast. Don't fail fast. Somebody said to me the other day, said, Jeff, what's your biggest failure? I said, I don't know. I haven't done it yet. Because I'm going to have more and more failures. I'm okay with that. But failures are just steps for me to get in the way of winning. And you have to keep your mind on the fact that you want to win, not that you want to fail fast. You want to win fast. Because failing's for losers. Let's keep that, at the end of the, Rangers are playing tonight, or playing this week. And then they got a home opener. And, of course, this is now Sunday, so they've already won 2 games, which is good. But, they don't go out and say, let's fail fast. Let's get all of our losses out of the season. Let's go to the first half of the season. Let's just get the losses out of the way so we can win later. No, you want to win.
This is great. We're speaking with Jeffrey Haislett. Many accolades, but right now we're focusing on his brand new book, Think Big, Act Bigger. It's sold already 250,000 copies. It's only out 2-3 weeks.
2 or 3 weeks. Yeah, this is our third week.
Unreal.
Yeah.
Unreal. In chapter 2, again, of the book, Think Big, Act Bigger, you talk about being authentic, being true to yourself.
Yep.
Being true, and you talked about it a few moments ago, being true to your family, your business peers. Why is this so important? Yeah,
look, it's hard enough. Someone said, I was listening to a speaker talk the other day and said, well, how should you be genuine? What do you mean? What kind of question is that? How to be genuine? How do I represent myself as genuine? I said, look, it's hard enough being me. Why would I want to be somebody else, right? So in inside, you are who you are. And I think a lot of our problems in society and even in business, the reason why we don't do things or people play politics and people do the stuff they do in business is because of this little voice in their head. And I'm just saying, whatever you are, be it. Be it. Do it. Live it. Don't apologize for it. I am big. I am bold. I'm obnoxious. I'm loud. I'm aggressive. Put whatever term you want. I don't care. You know what? I'm happy with me. And I'm going to be me. And if you don't like it, one time I had somebody complain to me when I was at Kodak and I was a CMO and I finally just wrote, bite me. And I tweeted it out. And someone said, you shouldn't do that. And I said, why not? And they said, you got to be nicer. So then I retweeted. I put, please bite me. Why? That's what you should do. I mean, this is ridiculous that, if you don't like things, I got it. But now if you come at me personally, the other day I was like periscoping and some guy said, dude, what the, blankety blank was up with your hair. And I told the guy to shut up on Periscope. Like, who do you have a right to say what my hair looks like? At least I got hair. How about you get your butt on this Periscope? That we need more of that. Like, tend to your own stuff. Let me tend to mine and let me be me. And if we spend more time about, me being me and you being you, what a better world would be. And then how much more we can get done. Mm-hmm. Imagine that.
Amazing.
And a lot less fighting, a lot less other crap that goes
Amazing.
On.
Amazing. Another question. How do you determine your conditions of satisfaction?
Oh, I love this.
Yeah.
I think this is probably one of the biggest gems in the book. There's a lot of gems in the book. And by the way, I love my book myself. I'm going to say that myself. I feel like I'm Donald Trump right now. I love my book. And I just got through doing the audio version the other day, and I was actually finding myself laughing in the book and getting really fired up and so forth. But conditions of satisfaction, why do I love them? It's promises. You've got your son that works with you in the business.
Yes.
I've got my kids that work with me. And remember when you made a promise to them and you did a pinky promise? That's a condition of satisfaction, and you don't break those. And if you ever tried to break that with your son, he'd remind you, Dad, you promised. And that's what conditions of satisfaction are. So I ask you, as an entrepreneur, as a business person who's listening today, and whether you're working in the business, we all have conditions of satisfaction we have to drive for the business. Like, what are the 5 or 6 goals that we're going to do? Like, we got to increase revenue, we got to increase margin, we got to increase customer satisfaction, we have to increase brand value, and then probably you have to, you know, play well with others. That's probably your 5 that you're going to get measured on. By and large, that's what they were for me when I was a CMO. But I want you to ask, what's your personal condition of satisfaction? What is it that you want to get out of the business? What do you want to get out of life if you want to? You know, for me, there are three simple things, and they're very simple. One is building wealth for me and my family. Now, I would do all the stuff that we do, and I'm sure you probably would too because you love what you do, for free. But how we get paid is how we keep score. So I got to keep score, and my wife likes nice things. So I like to keep my wife happy, and if my wife's happy, I'm happy. So I want to make money, I want to build wealth, and I want to have a good. And when I die, I want to make sure her and her second husband is well taken care of. That's her next husband, whoever that guy is. I want to make sure they're happy. And then second is I want to learn things. I want to do things that are really interesting so that I I advance myself. And then the third thing is I want to have fun. You know, and those are my 3 simple things. And if I can't meet those, now sometimes I'll do them for 2.
Right. You mentioned that in the book.
Yeah. Like, and then I got to build wealth because wealth doesn't, when you start doing, you're doing a startup company or you're getting started with a new business, you can't always build wealth because you're in the hole.
Right.
And you don't take salaries and things like that. So you got to hope that you have to. But so then in that personal condition of satisfaction, how long are you going to go in the hole, you know, until you're ready to take the next step or say it's that ain't going to go. You know, I got to stop that business. Yeah, exactly. I got to pull the plug. And there's been times like that in my life I've had to pull the plug. I did some things this year in business that I turned to my partner, who was my CEO, and I turned to him and said, I'm sorry for that. Shouldn't have done
that. It's amazing because a few minutes ago you said you never failed, that you looked at it as a bump in the road, not as a failure.
No, I don't look at it as a failure. I could have made a lot more money had I just not done that.
But you tried it.
But I tried it. So, you know, here, that goes with the other thing. No one died.
Right, no one died. Yeah, I love that chapter.
People should have this as a mantra. No one died. And in fact, I almost called the book "No One Died," but the publishers that they said, Jeff, we want a more aspirational title. I said, you know what, I am a lot more aspirational. I think Think Big, Act Big is a better title. Right. But I do like the mantra, and I think I'm going to come up with a T-shirt. No one died.
It's good. I love it. That chapter was really.
It's a meaty chapter. It's a meaty chapter because, it stops a lot of people. You think, oh, my gosh, I can remember, I was very embarrassed at the thing I did at Kodak. Third day into the job, I did this big campaign really quick, fast, and it was – and we said something in a video we probably shouldn't have said. In hindsight, now I know it was a big mistake. I used a Hispanic term that I shouldn't have used and had no right to use it. And yet I turned to the women thinking, hey, that's okay, because I said cojones, all right? I'll use the word here. And one, you shouldn't say that. 2, you shouldn't say it unless women are okay with it. And I thought they were, because I turned to the women and said, you okay? But 3, I should have probably had the Hispanic filter on to find out what the word meant. And it's one of the most degrading words there is about a male's human anatomy. And we did this video, and we did it, and we put it out there, and we got negative stuff. And I really got sick. I mean, I literally got sick over the weekend. Of that call. But, you take chances. But you know what I said to my chairman of the company when he called me to his office? And he's from Spain, by the way. And he said, hey, did you know what you just did? And I went, nope, but I'm about to find out. And I did. And I got chewed out for it, and rightfully so. And I said, I'm sorry. I apologize. I didn't know. And I thought I did the proper things, but I didn't do it far enough. And I said, boss, no one died. And he goes, you're right. No one died.
You already used the term at that point.
Oh, I've been using the term for many, many years. Even since I was a kid, I've been doing stuff that I shouldn't have been doing, and I have to tell my mom, hey, mom, no one died, okay? Because most of my stuff starts like, hey, mom, watch this. Most bad things start off
like that. Right.
Yeah, most bad things start off like that. So, but that's the point. You're here to take some risk. It's okay to take risk. It's all right to take risk. If your intent is pure, if your intent is to do the right thing, then it's okay to take risk. Now, and you should have some calculator risk in there. You should have some risk built in there that we're going to try it, see if it works. If it doesn't work, then we'll try something else. Well, okay, do it. Unless you're brain surgery, or operating heavy machinery, or someone's life really does depend on it, don't do that.
Right, Lanny, of course, you have the example there about the train tracks and the...
Exactly, I don't want the guy driving the Amtrak train that I take from Boston here. I don't want you messing up. Yeah.
Well, on the same question, what are some of the questions that people should ask themselves before starting a business or selecting a position within a business? What should they be?
You should really get into those conditions of satisfaction. What do you want to drive? What are the things that you want out of that business? What do you want to do? What are your goals? What are your dreams, hopes? And do they align with the people you're about to go to work for?
Right.
And do they align with your family? You got to ask some really, you know, really important questions. You know, and if you're getting in partnership with each other, I mean, think about what happens if your partner dies? What happens if you die? Do you want your wife involved in the business? Do you want his wife involved in the business? I'm using two men here because that's who we got. And I remember us having to sit down with my partner, Carl, who owns a piece of the business. And I said, Carl, if you die, I love your wife and I love her dearly, but I don't want her involved in the business. So I want us to put a policy in place that the day you die, we pay her off and she's done. And I'll still take the kids out. I'll still enjoy them. We'll still be friends. We'll still be at the barbecues. I'll still take care of, you know, of your family. But I don't want her in the business. And this, and by the way, my wife doesn't want to be in the business. And she wants to know that if I die, you pay her off and it's done and we're finished that day. That day. I don't even want them to have to worry about those kind of things. But those are hard questions.
Right.
Those are tough questions that you really have to sit down with people and ask. And there's nothing wrong with that. Being transparent, you know, and I talk about being radically transparent. And companies that do that succeed greatly. And high-performance teams, I was talking about the Rangers, I was talking about, or a football team, you know, if you can't talk about, hey, the guy across from me is tough for me, I need some help with your teammate, I mean, what's the use?
I have to ask you this question because you've had interactions with Donald Trump.
Sure, ask me. Oh, sure.
Would you say because he's so transparent and so anti-PC, that's what's keeping his ratings up?
I think that's one thing. I think he's a very successful man, without question. He's done well. I mean, he's had some losses, but he's made advantage of everything he's done. Second is, he is who he is. He's his own personality, and what you see is what you get. That's one of the, my wife will tell you this, you know, I've been on The Apprentice and we've done things together many, many times. She'll say what you see off camera is what you see on camera, and that's what you see. So that's, I think, refreshing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think many of the people you see running for office, now I'm a former chief of staff, United States Senate.
Right, yeah, Senate.
Former House staffer as well.
Mm-hmm.
Not chief of staff for the Senate, that was on the House side. That I did some campaign chief of staff stuff. Because I don't want letters. I don't want people, you know, hey, he's let you, you're recognized. Sometimes we get excited and we screw up here, people. Okay, no one died, all right?
No one died.
Yeah, but with Trump, I think what you see with a lot of politicians is you see them moving to the middle. They're moving to a place where they can be liked by as many people as possible. You know what, Trump? He doesn't care.
Right.
And I think that's what's cool. That's why he thinks big, acts bigger. And what I mean by that, he's comfortable in his own body.
Mm-hmm.
By gosh, I'm okay with that. Even if he's bat whatever crazy, okay, that's okay as far as I'm concerned, because at least you are who you are. And now he's going to have to sustain himself in the election. He's going to have to show he's got substance in the issues.
Right.
And that's going to be, I think that's the tougher part for him.
Right.
Okay. And I think in the long run that if he doesn't do well, that's where it's going to catch him. Yeah.
Hmm. Keeping with the idea of positioning.
But by the way, I'm going to write him a check because I think I might be.
It's on the air, by the way.
Well, yeah, that's okay. No, I'm writing him a check. I'm going to write him a check. I want to be the ambassador to something.
You heard it here first, friends.
Yeah. I want all my enemies, the people that don't like me, to have to call me Ambassador Hazlett. There you go. How you like that? Yeah.
Yeah. We're speaking.
And when they try to get in that country, I'm going to get their visa revoked. That's what I'm going to do.
We're speaking with Jeffrey Hazlett, global business celebrity speaker and best-selling author, right here on the Mind Your Business program, 77 WABC. A couple of more questions before we take a short commercial break. In keeping with the idea of positioning a brand, a business, a product to stand out from the rest of the crowd, any tips on that? How important is that?
It's very important. Here, you got to be you. So first of all, it's got to be real. Let me give you a great, you know, first of all, brand is not a logo. It's not a color. It's not the attributes of the brand. It is the brand. What is a brand? First of all, a brand is something we always put on a cow and occasionally a horse. That's where the word brand came from cowboys like me out in the West, and we turn our cattle loose and we bring them together. That's what we do. So it comes from that word. Now it's been attributed to businesses. So for a business, it either means the identification of ownership on the side of a bovine, which I don't think most businesses want, or it means a promise delivered. And so you better focus really on your promise. When you think about Apple, you think about great companies. What is their promise that they deliver? And that's the core of who they are. And that's what you got to get to in your brand.
Amazing. In the book, we talk about the Caitlin rule and the importance of empowering your team, your employees, to make their own decisions. Could you talk about the Caitlin
rule? I love the Caitlin rule. It's first story in the book, and one of the best stories, true story. A gal working for me by the name of Caitlin came up to my desk right before I was about to go and meet with the CEO of a company we're taking public. We take a couple companies public a year, and we were about to leave in about 3 to 5 minutes, and she stopped by my desk and said, Jeff, should we take color copies to the meeting of the presentation? I said, Caitlin, I said, you're brand new here, so I'm going to cut you some slack. In fact, I'm going to create a new rule. It's going to be called the Caitlin rule. It's named after you in your honor, and here's the deal. You only get to ask me 21 questions. You can ask me about the meaning of life. You can ask me, where's the best Italian restaurant in New York City? What's the best train to take cross town? You can ask me, does this dress make my rear end look big? You can ask me anything you want, personally, privately, whatever. Is that one of your 21 questions? And she turned back to me and said, I don't think so. I said, well, good, because that's a good career move, because if I have to answer that question, what do I need you for? And it wasn't to be mean or rude or mean or, you know, rough to her. It was to set conditions of satisfaction and say to her, look, I think you already know the answer to that question, and you're wasting my time. You're a big dog. The name of our company that we do this work with is called Tallgrass, which if you want to run with the big dogs, you got to learn to pee in the tall grass. I said, Caitlin, I hired you because you're a superstar. You're a big dog, and big dogs know how to take care of things. Big dogs lead. That's what you should be doing. By the way, do you have time to make the color copies if I said yes? And she said, no. I said, never ask me a question like that again. You already know. My job is to hit a mark in the business. Your job as the leader of your business is to do certain things. Each of us have a role to play. Play your role. And if I'm having to do your role, I'm not effective at my role. And so that's what the Caitlin rule is about, is having everyone do their jobs, having everyone know what the expectations are, and then what levels you need to exceed those jobs to be even better, to be a big dog. And that's what the Caitlin rule is all about.
Now, I'll tell you another takeaway that I really loved about this, and that is why you decided to make her an offer.
Oh, I that's a great, great question, because I noticed this gal.
And, of course, it's in the book.
It's in the book, because I want people to understand.
I love that takeaway.
It's a
ambition.
I was going to speak to the Advertising Women of New York, or Advertising Club, or Advertising Women. I think it was Advertising Women of New York. And they were having a symposium for a bunch of college students and people that were coming together. And about 2 weeks out, I started noticing on social media this gal was tweeting about it. And, oh, this is real interesting. So, and I do my own social media. So I was, like, involved and so forth. Even though we got a couple 100,000 fans, I'm involved with, you know, the people that are on engaging in the fans, because it's called social, so you should be social. And it should be you, because it's you. And so, and I'm engaging with her, so I noticed her. And I noticed her so much, I said at the end of my speech,
at
I
the,
said,
right, in the middle of the speech,
yeah,
where's Caitlin?
Where's Caitlin? I said, and she was sitting in the back row.
Yeah.
And at the very top of the amphitheater, and I said, when this speech is done, you come down here. I have a signed book for you, because this is the gal who is active online, and it pays to get active, and it pays to do the stuff. And by the way, we notice it. And so here was an advertising group, and there was hundreds and hundreds of these students, and she stood out because she was doing it. That's what I like about Think Big, Act Bigger. Go and do it. Even if she'd done it wrong, let's imagine I didn't even notice her, all right? She still was, she was doing her stuff. She was doing it right. Awesome. She was doing a good job. You don't have to always get noticed or rewarded, by the way, for doing a good job. Just do your job.
Right. And, of course, everything will fall into place.
Yeah.
Now, of course, this leads into the next question. How important is passion in business? Can someone succeed without it?
Well, passion's important, but not passion alone. I mean, you know, you can't have passion alone sustain it. You know, people at Kodak would come to me all the time and say, Jeff, make it like it used to be. Make it like it used to be. And, you know, look, I don't look like I used to when I was 20. I look better, you know. But that alone won't allow me to do everything I like to do in life, right? And I tried to corner the market years ago on pheasants. In South Dakota, I started a pheasant farming operation, had investors. You know, I had thousands and thousands of acres, and we had all these pheasant farms, and I put up these big nets over these telephone poles so that the pheasants could run free. And I had 10,000 pheasants one night look up into the sky as a big thunderstorm came through the state, and they opened their little beaks and they drowned. And I had 10,000 pheasants drown. These are the stupidest birds you've ever seen on your face of the earth, right? And so I tried to corner the market on pheasants, you know. So I was passionate about pheasants, right? But, you know, that alone won't carry it. Right. You've got to be smart. Right. You got to work hard. You got to have all the things going for you. You got to have cash. You got to, I mean, let's make a list, you know?
Right.
And you got to have all those things. So passion alone doesn't do it. You know, otherwise, you know, everything your mom said about you was true, and it's not true, you know? Right.
We're going to take a short commercial break, and when we come back, you're tuned to 77 WABC, the Mind Your Business program. When we come back, we'll be with Jeffrey Hazlett. Pace, just a brief note. I think we're going to even take this interview. We got to use the whole spot. I think, we'll just a brief note. Edison Litho, we did the Global Shop booth. We won Best of Show. It's great. We're going to talk about it next week.
I love printing.
It's great, but we have time, but the time is too
precious. I'm going to go to their website right now and look them up during the break because Edison Litho. I mean, come on.
This is great. So with a short commercial break, stay tuned.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your services and programs. It has to deliver just the right message, the right way, to make customers excited about what you offer and interested in working with you. Online, you have to be on the money to make the money. So go with the best, Website with Brains. Their experienced team will plan, write, design, and program a winning website that combines simplicity and flexibility with powerful features that will make you the king of content marketers. And they make it so easy. All of their websites are made with an easy, user-friendly interface. Website with Brains will have your new website up and running within 4 to 6 weeks. Take control of your online marketing today. Call Website with Brains for a free consultation and see how they can improve your online presence. 1-800-WEB-9018. That's 1-800-WEB-9018. Or visit them online at websitewithbrains.com.
And we're back and with Mind Your Business at 77 WABC.
Hey, I'm going to interrupt because this is Hazlett. I'm taking over right now.
Hijacked.
We're being hijacked.
And there's actually no weapons in the room. But yeah, I got to tell you guys, we follow the ratings. We follow what you're doing. I just heard that you guys are in the top 10. You just hit the top 10 in the ratings.
Yes, we did.
Thank you.
It was for male demographics 25 and older. We're number 9, which is...
On Nielsen. This is
official stuff. I mean, when you hear the Nielsen, which is great for you, great for the listeners, but, you know, men, we're dominant with men. Let's get with the ladies, too. We like the ladies as well. But to be able to do that in this time slot, you're beating music, right?
Yes, definitely. We're
bigger than Taylor Swift. You're bigger than, 50 Cent. You guys are awesome. That's pretty good. I know what that takes to do ratings. You know, I was the number one primetime business show, and I understand what that takes.
Thank you.
Good job.
Thank you very much.
Good job.
This is great.
Well, okay, I'll release that. I'll take you eyes off hijack.
Yeah, because I got to ask you some questions here.
Anyway,
we got to finish the show.
People should know. That's a pretty big accolade to be in that time slot and to gain those kind of ratings. That's good. That means you're doing stuff right. Good job.
Thank you. And again, a special shout out to JG, Jonathan Gassman, who got us this incredible guest off the charts.
Well, I paid Jonathan a lot of money to do that. No, I'm just teasing. I'm going to have to give him a free book. Oh, gosh. There goes the profits.
Autograph.
Yeah, there goes the profits.
We move on to Chapter 3, and, of course, we're talking about the new book, Think Big, Act Bigger. It's available Amazon, Barnes & Noble, everywhere. It already sold.
Independent bookstores, too. Yeah.
Independent bookstores. In under 3 weeks, it sold 250,000 copies. Try to beat that. Chapter 3 talks about being pigheaded and irrational.
Yeah.
And Jeffrey, you said that when people call you that, it does not bother you. In fact, you think it's a compliment.
Absolutely.
And every business leader needs to be a little pigheaded.
Yeah. You know, think about Steve Jobs. I mean, I know Steve. I knew Steve.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about one of the most pigheaded guys you've ever seen. There's a new movie out this week with him. And you get a chance to go see that because you're going to find out how pigheaded he was. I mean, sometimes in business, you got to stand for certain things. You got to say, no, we're going to hit this level of profitability. We're going to hit this level of customer satisfaction. We're going to hit this level of margin. We're going to hit this level of new customers. We're going to hit this whatever it is, on-time deliveries. Sometimes you got to be pigheaded. And, you know, people think, you're crazy. You're nuts. You're irrational. So what? You know, that's our goal. That's what we're going to do. It's like when you played sports back in high school. And you remember when you got done and you're running laps and then you're done and you're exhausted and you're at the end of the practice and you fall down the ground and you think you're breathing, you're wheezing, and the coach says, get back up and run another lap. Right? Remember that?
Yeah.
And you know what? You didn't die. You know what? You didn't die and you're still here and you're able to do it. That's what I'm talking about. And that's what business leaders have to do every single day. And I first heard this when I was doing a show for my show on Bloomberg, the C-Suite with Jeffrey Hazlett. And I'm doing this show in San Diego, interviewing a company. Greg Lucier is the chairman of a company called Life Technologies. They're about a $3 billion company. They've done a roll-up, about 40 companies rolled up. They're doing mapping of bio genomes. Mm-hmm. And they were about to sell to Thermo Fisher. So I was in there, you know, going through with them on the sale and so forth. And he spoke to a group of Harvard MBAs. And while he was speaking to these Harvard MBAs, he actually put a slide up and says, you know, leaders must be irrational. And I thought, that's crazy. That's nuts. And I wrote it down because we were doing B-roll, which is filming other outside shots and not really covering what it was, just having me there and getting us on camera, doing some of that stuff that you do the filler when the rest of the show. And so I wrote down irrational. I put an exclamation point, underlined it, circled it. I said, man, I'm going to drill him when I see him, because how can a publicly traded company be irrational? How can a leader of a publicly traded company be irrational? We've got stock in their biotech company. This is crazy. And then he said, you know, sometimes a leader – we say we're going to go from point A to point B, but we really have to tell we're going to C. So we can get everybody to be where we really need to be. And I went, oh, that makes a lot of sense. So now I understand why bosses are sometimes called crazy. Now, some are legitimately crazy. Let's get that right, you know. But, you know, what I'm talking about is it's up to a leader to think big and act bigger, to stretch it a little bit, to make us, you know, give us a little bit more tension. And tension's a good thing. There's a saying in sports, I'm sure you know this well, no pain, no...
Right, no gain.
Yeah, exactly. So why don't we have tension in business? That's what we're supposed to be doing. So yeah, you need to be a little irrational.
Amazing stuff. By the way, in case someone is just tuning in now, this will be available on the iTunes channel of this show. You could locate it by going to WABC Biz Radio. Right, Pesach? If you can go to the website, you can get to the link, because this is one you don't want to miss.
Well, thanks.
So this is great stuff. Moving on to chapter 4.
God, we got 10 chapters, so we're really moving
through.
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to get to
every
chapter.
Let's see how far we get.
This is so much information packed in these pages. That's what it is.
That's again, my apologies to Edison Litho. We will get to them next week. That was a great gig.
I am going to do a tweet out for Edison Litho.
Thank you.
Because I like print. I'm the biggest believer in print since Gutenberg.
Because they have... four huge, those KBA presses.
Oh, yeah,
that do
I know
81
exactly.
inch.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
do 81 inch. So they
need a little Kodak equipment.
They have tons of Kodak,
yeah,
all the Kodak bromide
sure.
and the whole thing.
Yeah.
And all those big, huge machines that spit out those plates for 81 inches.
Yep. Yeah,
so,
that's a big. Nobody knows what the heck we're talking about, but you and I know.
But, oh, yeah. It's a real operation. So we did their trade show booth. It won Best of Show in Vegas out of 700 other ones.
That's awesome.
And at a Global Shop is the show for the retail printing industry.
Yeah, it's big.
So it's big.
No,
it's very exciting.
Having been in the printing industry for a number of years, you know, yeah, it's big stuff.
So.
And litho, man, that's hardcore.
Yeah,
that's hardcore. That's real printing,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
That's not that copying printing and electrostatic stuff. That's real man printing. Real men and real women. That's what printing. That's what that printing is.
This is amazing. And chapter 4, you talk about...
By the way, I gotta ask, Edison, sure. Edison Litho, has it got anything to do with Edison?
Actually, no.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
that's smart. They hijacked his name. That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
So,
you know, it's a great quote by Thomas Edison, or about Thomas Edison, about failure, and getting back to failure.
Yes.
Somebody said, hey, you failed to make the light bulb 10,000 times. He said, no, I found 10,000 different ways to make the right light bulb.
That's right.
I thought that was a great quote. Yeah.
And even the quote, what was the one he had after his place burned down? He had a terrible fire, and most of his things, he's working on his patents, all went lost. And I don't remember right now, but he had some amazing quote also.
We're just going to restart.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm going to go look that one up.
It's a really
he's a smart
important
guy.
One.
He
yeah.
was a good. He was very good friends. You think about the perfect storm.
Mm-hmm.
He, George Eastman, and Henry Ford.
That's right.
They used to get together. Imagine the brain trust there.
Wow.
You know, that's a pretty big brain trust. I mean, it's kind of like, if you think about it, Steve Jobs and Bill Gates getting together with maybe, I don't know, who would be the another one that would be of that same ilk maybe. But think about that. That's at that same
Virgin
level.
Airways?
Richard Branson, I don't...
Okay.
Richard's a good guy. I don't think he's the guy I would be thinking of like that, but I still think he's a good guy, good innovator, good marketer.
Right.
But when I think about real brainiacs, I mean, I've sat down with Bill Gates and done business with him and Steve Jobs. They are smart people. I mean, you just sit down and you walk away going, whoa, I got to go back to school. You know, it's that. You know, you might not get along with them because they're kind of, both of them are, quite frankly, to be honest with you, and I'd say this to their face, they're kind of annoying. But, you know, in terms of the conversation.
Irrational pigheaded.
Yeah, that's okay. And I'm okay with that. I mean, I have no problem with that. I remember I used to have to do negotiations with Steve, you know, over legal stuff all the time. And or in motion pictures, I'd run into him at the Academy Awards because of Kodak Theater, and mm-hmm. that's we're in that business. And I'd run into him, and I remember the last time I saw him was before he passed. About a year or two before he passed, I saw him at the Academy Awards and underneath the heat lamp waiting for his limo to come and pick him up. And he and his wife were there, and I stopped by and said hi. But yeah, but he, again, you know, imagine these kinds of leaders like that. And I imagine what Henry Ford, I'm sure he was just an annoying guy, but very smart. I mean, and very practical. I mean, the fact that he used to use the shipping crates that the parts would come in mm-hmm. on and use those as the floorboards for the Model A.
Wow.
Or the Model T, one of the two. Wow. He had them build the crates so he could take the sides off of them.
To leverage
so he could
everything.
And used every inch of it, you know? I think that's pretty flippin' smart when you think about something like that. That's a big use of OPM, which is what most business should be doing right now. Social media, OPM, biggest use of other people's money you've ever seen in your life.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You don't see as many. If you're not doing that, if you're not doing social media right now,
you gotta get up to speed.
Yeah, you're stupid. I'm serious. I'm gonna say that you're just really stupid.
And on that note, if you go to the archives again, WABCBizRadio.com, will take you to the iTunes. A number of weeks ago, we had Matt Britton. He's the CEO of MRY, and he wrote the book Youth Nation.
Oh, that's cool.
And we talked about everything. It's a great book, and he's like kind of the guru on the subject, social media. Moving along, you discussed the need about for a company has to cadence.
Yeah.
Create a company cadence.
Yep.
Could you elaborate?
Yeah, it's your energy. When you walk into a business, I mean, or watch a television show. When you watch a television show, you can see the cadence of the show, the energy of how fast it moves or whatever. And you can pick up on that. When you walk into a business, and I bought and sold a couple hundred businesses, and when I bought a business and walked in, I can tell the energy of the place immediately. You're right? You can get a sense for what it's like. And so I ask you, what's the cadence of your business? What's the energy level of your business? How does it flow? Is it like a lake, a pond? Is it like an ocean? Does it go back and forth, ebb and flow? Have tides come in, tides come out? Is it like a river that just flows all the time and fast? Or is it a little creek, little energy? You know, that what is the energy that you develop and give in that thing? And I think it's up to the leadership to develop that right. And kind of set the tones. You know, and I'm one to do that. Like in my office, we keep it kind of cold because I like cold and I'm a big guy and I get hot real fast. And everybody's always like wrapping up with blankets and saying, it's cold in here, and just tell them, work harder, you know? You know, what's that cadence, right?
We have some things in common. When we built our building, Pesach's laughing, I put in a separate split unit, one of those new Mitsubishis, yep. For the winter time.
Yeah.
I said, because I love it cold.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Gets things going.
And that energy is, by the way, it's reflected in how fast you answer email.
Right.
Whether, you know, how you, you know, do your meetings, how quick they do. Do
right.
they start on time?
Right.
All those things are cadence, you know. And, you know, I'm a real stickler. If you're going to start at 2 o'clock, you start at 2 o'clock, you know, or you know, whatever it might
right.
be with the team. And
right.
don't waste 15 minutes. Or, you know, I'm one of those kind of people that we start the meeting and they're not quite ready. I say, call me when you're ready. And I leave. And then when they get started and the cameras, because we do everything by video conference because we have offices in New York, L.A., San Francisco, our people in Seattle. And so we're all in various
right.
places. So we all put up everybody up on video cameras. And if you can't all be there at the same time, I mean, I ain't got time for this. Right.
Chapter 8. We'll skip a drop.
Oh,
here.
We're skipping. Whoa.
I apologize.
No.
They got to buy the book.
Yeah.
Think bigger, act bigger, the rewards of being relentless. Jeffrey Hazlett. It's available everywhere. And what was that offer, the Barnes & Noble?
They give you four free books right now if you buy the Nook, the new Galaxy, Samsung Galaxy T2, one of my books.
That's incredible. Chapter 8, I'm going to quote, get over yourself and know what you don't know.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Well, I mean, be sure about what you do know. And then what you don't know, why don't you make sure that you be in a state of awareness, of I don't know what I don't know. And I think that's an important thing for us to do. I think you should be inquisitive as a leader, and I don't know everything. And so I want to know what I know, and I don't know what I don't know. And so don't fake it. Don't push through it. Say, it's okay to say, I can be a beginner. It's a very powerful statement to say, I don't know. Why don't you teach me? Why don't you tell me? What are you talking about? You know, my daughter the other day was asking, you know, she didn't know what a terrapin was. You guys know what a terrapin is?
No.
You know what a terrapin is? Come on, it's a turtle. So not a lot of people know that a terrapin's a turtle. So she got an argument with somebody about whether or not they knew what a terrapin was. And she didn't know. And so she said, I don't know. And someone tried to make fun of her for it. Well, that's ridiculous, right? You know, you guys didn't know.
Right.
You guys,
now
yeah,
I know.
You guys are big city guys. You don't get out very often. So that's right. You don't have a lot of turtles running around. Woo.
We're going to take a short commercial break. We're here with Jeffrey Haislett, global business celebrity speaker, best-selling author, right here on 77 WABC. We got a couple more minutes to the show. Stay tuned.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your services and programs. It has to deliver just the right message, the right way, to make customers excited about what you offer and interested in working with you. Online, you have to be on the money to make the money. So go with the best. Website with Brains. Their experienced team will plan, write, design, and program a winning website that combines simplicity and flexibility with powerful features that will make you the king of content marketers. And they make it so easy. All of their websites are made with an easy, user-friendly interface. Website with Brains will have your new website up and running within 4 to 6 weeks. Take control of your online marketing today. Call Website with Brains for a free consultation and see how they can improve your online presence. 1-800-WEB-9018. That's 1-800-WEB-9018. Or visit them online at websitewithbrains.com.
And we're back with Mind Your Business here on 77 WABC. Pesach, in the meantime, had gotten the quote from Thomas Edison.
We found it. There is great value in disaster. All our mistakes are burned up. Thank God we can start anew.
Mm. That's a positive attitude right there. That's a smart guy. No one died, right?
I got no one died.
You know, we burned some stuff up. It's just stuff. Well, let's go do it right.
Yeah.
I love that. By the way, I love the name of this show.
Thank you.
Mind Your Business.
I mean,
because that's what you got to do. There's nobody responsible for the success of your business except for the person that stares back at you in the mirror. So you got to mind your business. You got to take care of your business. That's very important. I love the name.
Thank you. Well, we're going to try to cover everything. That is our goal now, because I know we said that conversation, but that's our goal. We have professionals here. We're going to do it.
All right.
And that's why we're laying it straight out. I'm not a millennial. I grew up with Kodak. What were, as a CMO of a Fortune 100 company, what are some reflections you have?
You know, I love the company, and you look at what they did for us and what they did for most people. So when I stepped into that job, I had to respect the history of the company, but yet I had to try to get it onto a new footing. And I wasn't successful at it in full. I was successful at the things I did, most of them, not at the overall goal, no. And there's just too much, not enough runway for us to be able to do the things we needed to do. And quite frankly, not enough people pulling in the right direction. So the biggest thing I miss out on was the fact that I wasn't more aggressive in trying to change the culture of the company. And I tried to change the mood, and even then it was tough. You know, if you think your best days are behind you, then they are. And that was the biggest problem we had there.
Let's talk about collaboration, teamwork. What advice could you share to eliminate frustrations that frequently happen with a teamwork environment?
You got to get around those. Let's get back to the condition of satisfaction. If you all know where you're going, you're all pulling in the right direction. And then once you agree to it, you better drink the Kool-Aid. There's no going back. In fact, I tell you to burn the bridges, burn the boat, not burn the bridges. But like the Vikings coming over to the New World, you know, to give those guys incentive, what they would do is burn the boats. There's no going back.
Right.
You only got one way to go. And so that's the way we're going to go.
Make it happen.
Exactly.
From your vast experience and knowledge developing high-growth companies, can you share some examples of companies that have steamrolled their way through obstacles?
Yeah, let me give you a great example in the book. And this guy is crazy. I mean, he is crazy. He's coming out with a book about the Shark Tank, and I'm talking about Scott Jordan, who's the CEO of ScottyVest. Now, he's got about a $20 million company. It's not a huge company, but $20 million is $20 million, so it's a good-sized company. And he patented a pocket. and he went forward, and he took on the Shark Tank guys, and they didn't like it, and he's still very successful with this product, doing really great, and he makes travel vests and travel clothes all around these pockets where you can store all this stuff in pockets. You can literally, in a vest, carry like 40 pounds of tech gear, and it makes you look slim. I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, I love it because it makes me look like a, you know, a sexier version of me. But here's a guy who's just crazy, and you would think, are you kidding me? A pocket? And yet, look what he's doing, $20 million or more a year. I don't know what his numbers are. I know he's about that. That's my guess on his size. But, you know, and he's, you know, this guy's kind of an obnoxious guy. But yet, look what he's doing. He steamrolls. When people said, you can't do it, he did it. And it, I love things like that. Even if you're crazy, I love examples like that.
And maybe you could share a takeaway from when you visited Domino's filming the C-suite with Jeffrey Hazel.
I mean, one of the biggest things about the radical transparency I talk about that company is someone in a meeting stood up one day and said, hey, our pizza sucks and we should tell people about it. And then they did a commercial and they actually went out and told people that they suck and you should retry them because what they did was retool the company and retool the recipe. They used to care more about getting us the box than what was in the box. It was 30 minutes or it's free, right? Remember that? So most of us used to call up, wait 30 minutes, hoping we'd get a free pizza. And now they changed that. And they were honest with their customers about it. They were transparent and said, we weren't as good as we should have been. We want you back. Here's the new recipe. Here's our new name. And now we're doing it. And the results have been just tremendous. They almost ran out of pepperoni after they did that campaign.
Jeffrey, as a CMO of a former Fortune 100 company, could you share your top three marketing tips for our audience?
First of all, do it. That'd be the first one. Just do something, whatever it is, and if it doesn't, do it. Second is really get as close as you possibly can to your customers. So go to where they're at. This is the old Sam Kennison, the comedian rule, where he used to talk about people who were starving in a desert. When you live in the desert, move to where the food is. Food doesn't grow in sand. So go to where your customers are and be there. So if that means they're on social media, get on social media. If that means they're in this place or that place, make sure you go and do those things. And the third thing is just be real. You know, be real about what you do, you know, and deliver it. You know, be that brand promise. That's the most important thing you can do.
In the last chapter of your book, Think Big, Act Bigger, you discuss having a servant mentality.
Yeah.
What is it? Explain a servant mentality, and how does it make one become a better leader?
Well, you know, I'm an usher in my church. When I'm back home, everybody knows that's what I do. And I've always been kind of that, where that's what I do. And I take that same kind of philosophy into the business of doing the jobs that you need to do and just do them. And so I clean the bathrooms. This morning when I went into my office here on 7th Avenue, I got in this morning. First thing I did was clean the bathroom.
Unreal.
Well, one, I like a clean bathroom. You know, that's one. Two, it also sets the tone for everybody else that knows this is the job. I'm doing this job. Now, there's not another job in this business that's worse than this. You can do, if I ask you to do something else, then you should be able to do it because I clean the bathrooms, you know. And it's my way of being able to say, I'm going to get my hands dirty. And by the way, you should do this in all your business. By getting your hands dirty, by doing the things that other people are doing in the business, then you know what's going on. You see what's going on. And I think it's very important for leaders not to lose touch with that. And that's a pretty extreme example. But by doing that, I stay better in touch, and there's no other job than anyone else can complain about doing. Because then when everybody got in this morning at 9, you know, I was going around, hey, can you clean this up? Can you clean this up? Nobody complains with me about it because they know, hey, you just cleaned the bathroom. Smells good, you know.
You talk in the book about being the guest judge on Celebrity Apprentice with Donald Trump. Most people would not even attempt such a thing. What got into you?
Well, you know, I had a product at Kodak, which I was trying to really highlight, and in that product, I needed a way in which to showcase the product. And one of the best things I always thought was the Apprentice show. So I told the team, let's get it on the Apprentice. And they said, well, we're not sure how to do that. I said, well, call Donald Trump. And they said, well, we can't do that. I said, call Donald Trump. So I picked up the phone, dialed 411, got New York, and I said, hey, I like Donald Trump's number. And they said, we don't have a Trump. We have a Trump organization. And I said, okay, give me that number. And they gave me that number, and the receptionist answered. I said, can I speak to Donald Trump? He's not available. I said, can I speak to his assistant? They gave me his assistant. And then she said he's not available, so then I left him a message. Well, my message was really good. My message was, hey, look, I got a couple $1 million I need to spend in the next half hour. If Mr. Trump can't call me back in the next half hour, I understand. I'll pass and go spend it with somebody else.
Is that the message you left?
Absolutely.
I believe you.
No, that's the exact message.
Unreal.
You have to be very good at being clear about the ask, right? And I knew knew the things that would trigger him. He wants money, and he doesn't like to lose. I gave him both options, and I put a time limit on it to make sure he called me. Well, within 15 minutes, he called me back.
Unreal.
That's how you do it.
Well, we have 60 seconds left to the show. You're tuned to an amazing show of real great business advice. If you missed it, you can go to the podcast, wabcbizradio.com. Any final thoughts for our
We got to do this again. We're going to have to come back.
I absolutely.
Use the book. Mind your business. That's the most important thing. You take care of your business. We want to make sure that you see that, and that's what you got to do. Think big, act bigger. It is not the lucky who win. It's the relentless. So go be relentless every day. And you can find out more about the book. Go to thinkbigtour.com, and you can see it. And actually go to launch.thinkbigtour.com, and I'm giving away a big trip to New York City.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, I just want, in our final seconds, we must give a thank you to Gina.
Yeah,
Gina Larson. Yep. I want to make sure, and Pesach Trapper, and of course, Jonathan Gassman, who got us in touch with you. Jeffrey, a real pleasure.
Awesome.
Thank you again, Jeffrey, and tune in next week for another edition here on 77 WABC, the Mind Your Business program. Have a great week.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night from 11 until 12 for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Saflis has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he and his guests offer their business and marketing expertise to you every Sunday night from 11 until midnight on Mind Your Business.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.